Welcome back to another special conversation, and thank you for tuning in to Parenting Special Needs Podcast. I'm your host, Shantae, and today we're talking with Nicole Bovell about ways to close out summer and prepare for the new school year. So welcome, Nicole, and Nicole is a longtime advocate of the special education community and the author of The Journey of Special Education and How to Have a Great School Year. She also has a Master's of Arts in Special Education, an Education Specialist degree in Teaching and Learning, and 22 years of experience teaching and working with students with a variety of disabilities. So, welcome, Nicole. Thank you. And I have to share, first of all, because Nicole sent me, or her publicist sent me her books, and I get quite a few. But this little one was so cute. I'm like, okay, I could take a look at that one. But then I loved it, and I was thinking, okay, oh, thank goodness she sent me a second one because I'm not giving one away. So thank you so much. So I really enjoyed it. And that's what made me decide I wanted to reach out and speak with you. I thought you could share with other people, with other families, you know, what do you think parents can do to prepare for the upcoming school year? What would you recommend?
Well, one of the things I would suggest is reading over your child's IEP. That is one of the big things. And just making sure you understand the IEP before the school year begins. And if you had any questions, you could always ask at the beginning of the school year. Sometimes parents, they wait and then the school year is like halfway over, or they wait until their IEP meeting is scheduled during the year to ask questions. And that's the last time that you want to do that. You want to ask them in the beginning so you understand what's going on in the school year. And then you also want to kind of close out the summer activities, anything that your child is involved in, any type of like therapy or even ESY, reviewing that data to make sure you can see what they accomplished during the school year. And then for the children that really have a hard time with transitioning, I would suggest to really count down to the school year and make it exciting and new. And you know, you can have like a fun calendar, you can do a party or something like that to celebrate the start of a brand new school year. And these are really for the kids who have, you know, who struggle with transitioning from, you know, one placement to the next placement.
Which a lot of our children do. So I think that's really important. It is more about starting the routine earlier.
Yes. I definitely agree. And, you know, before the first day of school, you know, you should start maybe a couple weeks before that, making sure they're getting up in time. You know, you can do start your whole routine because, you know, people, well, children and adults, you know, you kind of get kind of lazy over the summer, and then you got to get back into the routine, you know, when the school year begins. So you want to make sure that that routine is started, not the first day of school, but, you know, a week or two before. And then something else is meeting with the child's teacher. A lot of school districts, they do like a pre-back to school night. The district I used to work with, we called it a sneak a peek. And the parents got to come in the week before school began to meet the teacher, to visit the classroom, so they understood, you know, the classroom that they were going to be attending, and then also the teacher that they were going to be with that school year. So a lot of school districts are starting those things, so it's something that you can look into and check out to see if your school district is doing that also.
Okay, no, I love that. I think that's great. And now you were saying, what about the ESY and the progress reports? I don't think I've ever gotten an ESY progress report.
Well, you should have.
Because, yeah, I should have.
Because your child is, the teacher is recording data during that ESY period. So when you are preparing your IEP for ESY, goals and objectives, certain goals and objectives are selected. And those are the things that are going to be worked on during the summer. So the teacher, whoever is teaching the child, should be taking data on the goals and objectives that are in the IEP for ESY. So essentially, after the ESY is over, you should get a progress report to see what your child did or didn't do during the summer. So every parent should should definitely get some type of data, a progress report. Like I said, the school district I used to work at, we had to print a progress report at the end of ESY, and it went home with the child on the last day of school.
Wow.
And yes.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gotten one, so that's not good. So
yeah,
I think that's a good point. So I'm glad you said that. And
what your child, you know, what they did.
Right. And you mentioned in the book too, something else I liked about take the time now, which was, I thought was really important, to get organized. Cause I think that's something that, you know, we're always, I'll speak for myself, going to do it. I'm going to do it. But then, you know, now it's IEP time and oh my gosh, I have to do it. It's tomorrow. So if I'm similar to a lot of other parents, so what would you recommend there?
Well, gathering all the documents, your IEPs, you know, there's, you always get like a copy, whether it's a physical copy or, you know, a lot of times now the schools are giving out electronic copies. So if you're doing this on, you know, your computer, you know, having a folder, so you're organizing the IEPs and any other paperwork, medical documents, anything that is related to your child. I would say to keep the IEPs unless it's a specific issue. I would say just to keep the last 3 years, and then, you know, you can kind of purge, you know, after that. And also you should also organize the classwork, all the, you know, documents that you have, so you can compare from last year to the current school year. So you can see if there's any growth, because sometimes, you know, you may say, oh, there's not really any growth, but then you look back and you can see there has been some growth, or you can prove that there may not have been any growth. So you want to make sure you organize all that schoolwork, because you're flooded with a lot of documents during the IEP. Right. You get all types of stuff, and you always want to make sure everything's in order, just in case you do have a problem, you have all your ducks in a row.
If I want to just make sure I'm clear, it would be not just the documents that we're getting from the school with the progress reports and the IEPs, but even samplings of the child's work, so we could see.
Work samples.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
From year to year.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think you already talked about transitioning to a new school or a new teacher, but what about if it's a new school? What about if it's a new teacher?
Well, if it's a new teacher, a new school, again, I would suggest trying to meet the teacher before the school year begins. Because if you wait to the beginning, you know, or the first day, may, you know, have, you know, your child may have difficulties, may have meltdown, or whatever is the case. If your school district does not offer that, then I would say, you know, the first day of school, just, you know, preparing them and making sure, you know, hey, you're going to have a new teacher, and, you know, even you should hopefully know their name, and you can give them their name, and, you know, and even if they are on a new bus route, maybe, you know, going down the, you know, getting in your car and riding down the path with them, you know, pointing out things, you're going to see this on the bus, you're going to pass this on the bus, just so they can have some type of familiarity. So when the first day of school starts, it's not all brand new.
And what do you think are the most important things that parents should know about an IEP?
Oh, goodness. I would say the whole thing, but.
No, I agree, but it's, you know, it's difficult.
Yes, I know it's very difficult. But I would say one of the first things is the present levels of performance. So that is basically the summary of what your child actually knows and any struggles that they're having, you know, their strengths, their weaknesses. What behaviors they're experiencing, if they have any medical issues, if they have any speech issues, OT issues. This is all in like the beginning. It's called the present levels of performance. It's all in the beginning of the IEP, because that is basically what's going to drive the goals and objectives. So the goals and objectives are from where your child is, their strengths, their weaknesses. So you want to make sure you have a clear understanding of where your child is. You know, you got to know what they know, and you got to know what they need help in. And then once you know that, you have a clear understanding, then you should be able to, you know, because you are part of the IEP as a parent, you should be able to understand their goals and objectives, because that is basically what is going to be happening in the classroom. That's driving instruction. So you want to make sure you have an understanding of what your child is supposed to be learning in the classroom. And then you want to also know their accommodations anything, any specific things that they may need help in, any modifications they may need help in the classroom. And then essentially their placement, because this is where everything's going to be taking place. So what setting are they in? You know, are they being in a co-taught setting, or is this a self-contained classroom? You know, there's a continuum of services. So you want to make sure you understand each service, so you know when you get to the placement in the IEP meeting, you know when the IEP team is talking about a certain placement, you know what that means.
Right. Okay. Well, since you were talking about that too, I had a question too, because you phrased it differently in your book than I had heard it. And I read it, but I needed to probably go back and reread it again. But can you explain the differences between accommodations and modifications? Because I thought the way that you explained it was really good. And I had, you know, in my 21 years in this process, I have not heard it that way.
Yeah, I know. It's sometimes people use it interchangeably, and they're two separate things. So an accommodation is something that helps your child to learn in the classroom what everybody else is learning. So, you know, your child may need to sit closer to the teacher, you know, and that could be an accommodation that can help them focus more. Or your child may need a pencil grip, you know, with OT, you know, they may have some fine motor skills or fine motor deficits, and they may need something like that. That will be an accommodation to help them there. That's helping them to learn what everybody else is learning in the classroom, but it's the teacher is accommodating them in a specific way. Okay. When you get to modifications, that's when you're changing the curriculum, you know, okay. You're modifying the curriculum. You know, some states, they have with standardized testing, they'll have a modified standardized test. And like, for instance, math, they may, instead of just a simple word problem, they may add some specific pictures for the modified standardized test. Because you're modifying, you know, that word problem in order for them to solve it. So that's why they're two separate things.
All right. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I asked somebody the other day and they didn't know, but I thought maybe you might know. Neither one of us knew. Do you know if they've ever modified the GED?
I've never heard of them modifying the GED. Okay. I thought it was still the same. You know,
and it may be. That was a throw out there question.
Something I will look up too, but I've never heard of a modification of
GED. Well, the reason I'm asking is it because I'm not sure. You're in New Jersey?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I'm in Florida, but I know a couple of years ago they changed it so our kids could get standard diplomas or modified standard diplomas, but still everybody graduated with a standard, is going to graduate now with a standard diploma. And my daughter was just on the cusp of that. But I was talking to a mother the other day and her son, you know, didn't get it. He just graduated kind of like with a diploma that was just basically you were in school, you know, it was kind of that. He didn't get a degree, but she was saying, she tried the GED, but he couldn't pass the math test, and it was just so stressful. And so it made me think, like, for those older population of kids that are out there with no certificate, it's hard for them to get jobs. Maybe they should modify the GED. So anyway.
I definitely agree. But I will look into that after this because I just never heard of them modifying it.
And I don't think they have. I just figured. Yeah. So, but back to what you were saying, just so I can clear it up in my own mind. Accommodations would be like the pencil grip or without and different things that they need to make them more successful in the classroom. Yeah. Modification would be where they're altering the curriculum, such as like using a different curriculum, like unique learning systems or different things like that help them process it or understand it better.
So because you want them to basically be successful with the curriculum, but they just may need a little tweak.
Right. Okay.
You know, a little tweak about it in order for them. I mean, they're still learning. It's just, right. They just may need a little tweak in order for them to understand it better.
Got it. Okay. And, you know, this issue too, I think I was telling you, we are talking about the pros and cons of public versus private schools. Do you have any experience or advice or tips you could share on that or the different school settings based on your experience?
Well, based on my experience, I think there are pros and cons to both. You know, right now there are a lot of private therapeutic schools opening. for special needs students. And, you know, when one of the pros about that is everybody's on the same page. You know, everybody, you know, all the teachers, they understand the type of environment, they understand special needs children, you know, but when you're in a public school, your child is in a classroom in a public school, you know, so everybody's not on the same page. So when your child is going out to specials, you know, they're going to gym or they're going to music, a lot of times, unfortunately, these teachers, they don't understand special needs children, especially when it comes to behavior. I've had a lot of issues with it, just in my experience with the students that I had. If it was any type of behavior, some teachers didn't understand behaviors that was because of their disability, and then behaviors because it was the child. You know, those are two separate things. Mm. So when you're in a private school that is just for special needs children, I mean, it's a great thing because, like I said, everybody's on the same page. But when you're in a public school, unfortunately, everybody's not on the same page. Right. You know, but then you have to, the flip side is, with private schools, you typically will have to pay for it unless, you know, some parents can get the public school district to pay for it. But that process is not an easy process because you have to prove to you have to prove that the public school district is not providing your child FAPE, which is a free appropriate public education. Mm-hmm. And in order to go down that route, if when you're in IEP meeting and you guys are in disagreement, then you most likely are going to have to file due process in order to go down that route. So it's one of those things you always have the option of sending your child to a private school, but I've just recently, I've had three parents, you know, that I've been as an advocate for, they want the school district to pay for the private school. But it's like one of those, it's one of those battles that you got to be prepared to walk down.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Which is rough. Now, and I was going to say too, is there not where in New Jersey, there's not like scholarships. Like I know in Florida, there's two different scholarships that people can apply for to kind of get to go to a private school that benefits your child.
Yes, there are. And they're also, in New Jersey, they also have public special needs schools. So, you know, which is a good thing. It's more for students who are on the lower spectrum, but they do have their public schools. So it's, you know, if your child needed to go to like a specialty school, they have that in New Jersey also.
Okay. I see. Okay. So, let's see. So I think you've answered a bunch of my questions. So if we want to get back to telling our listeners, like, all right, I'm going to throw it out there. Three tips, because like I'm trying to figure out, let's close out summer because it's July, which it'll probably take us the end of July and August to do whatever you kind of suggest. Yeah. If most of them are like me, which I'm assuming they are. So what would be your top three tips to get people ready for the new school year? For parents to get ready for the new school year?
Well, again, I'm going to say it again. My number one tip is to read over the IEP. Whatever the last IEP was, make sure you read over that. And part of the IEP is the ESY progress. And hopefully, you said you never received it, but hopefully other parents have received ESY progress. So you have an understanding of exactly where your child left off, you know, at the end of the school year. So you know where they're going in the beginning. And one of the reasons I also say that is, you know, just in case the school year begins and say, for instance, your child's IEP is not being followed, you know, maybe they're in a different placement or maybe they're not getting the accommodations they were supposed to be getting. You wouldn't know that if you didn't know what was in your child's IEP. And unfortunately, some parents, they don't really pay attention to that. They just kind of leave it up to the school district. But that's something that you need to do. The second tip I would say is to prepare your child, you know, for that transition, to prepare them for this, especially if it's a new school, if it's a new classroom, then you want to make sure, you know, you preparing them and, you know, over the summer talking, well, you're going to have a new teacher, you know, you're going to go to a new school, you know, you could use a social story, even if your child responds to social stories, just to make sure that they understand that they are, going to school. And also you can have fun with like going, you know, school shopping or something, just to make it fun and, you know, entertaining, especially for the little ones. So they get them excited. And the third tip I would say is organization. You know, like we talked about, just organizing everything so you understand, like, you know, you have everything in order. You don't want to start the school year just kind of all over the place. You know, you want to start it on the right foot.
Yeah, no, I think that's excellent. No, I appreciate it. And now, where would people find out more about you?
Oh, okay. You can visit my website at www.beyondspecialeducation.com. And you can go on the website and it's all a bunch of information about me, other resources. And if you are in the New Jersey, New York area, I also do a lot of advocacy consulting for parents.
Right. And you have your book, because I'm telling you, I really love this little book. It was short and to the point. It's simple and I can do it. We're all busy, crazy parents and we try to do the best we can. And sometimes you just need that reminder. And I liked that your book was simple and that you also, I mean, honestly, you guys, I know she's not telling me, you know, we didn't get together because I'm plugging her book, even though I'm plugging her book, but it's 50 pages. And I like the fact that she gave me tips at the end, like, okay, do this. And it was like, okay. And as a mom, even though I've been in it a long time, it's like I liked that gentle reminder and point.
Yeah, and that's why I kept it really simple, because, you know, a lot of this stuff is so confusing and a lot of parents just have so many questions. And, you know, I just wanted to keep it really simple so parents can really, it's easy to read, easy to follow. So even if you do have more questions after this, this will give you a good foundation in order to get started with the school year.
And I have to I appreciate what you did, because that's exactly what you did. It was like, okay, gosh, I could feel like I could start off on the, you know, the right foot. And, you know, and she talks about inclusion in here and a lot of things just to make people aware in a simplified way to get going and take action and everything. So thank you. Check out her book, you guys. You won't be disappointed. And I can't thank you enough for sharing with us. I know this is my first time meeting you, so thank you for having a conversation with me.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you for contacting me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, you guys, I'm going to recap the top tips basically three actions that you can take to start this next school year off on the right foot based on Nicole's recommendations. One, get out your child's IEP from last year and read it over. Second, start preparing your child for the back-to-school transition. And third, start organizing all of the documents and the paperwork in your child's IEP binder. See? Pretty simple. 1, 2, 3. All right. Thank you, Nicole, so much for taking the time to share with us. Thank you all for listening. I can't wait to connect with you again next week. Until then, bye for now. I'll talk to you soon.